Okay. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Otis bugging you today or what, Will?
A little bit.
He sits right in front of the wheels of the chair.
I just don't want to hurt him, you know?
He's driving you nuts. But he likes to be close.
He does, yeah.
As a sidekick would.
Yeah.
Man's best friend.
Protector.
Yeah. Oh, he's tougher than you are, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Let's get that out of the way. Foldable schmoldable. That's what CNET says. How about that for a headline? Exclusive. Exclusive. Foldable schmoldable. Leaked images show a concept phone with a slide-out screen. Why you got fold? You don't got fold. You just slide and roll. Stop, drop, and roll. You know what that's for? When do you stop, drop, and roll? Well,
I believe it's when you're on fire.
Let the people know.
Yeah.
Let the people know. Actually, Vin, he sent us the clip with the guy actually was on fire. Did you watch the clip?
No, I didn't.
It was in the Slack. It's a rock star. He's playing. He's doing what he. No, I don't think it's Gene Simmons. He's doing what a rock star does with a guitar. And the pyrotechnics go off in the background and it lights the hairspray. And the whole thing's flaming. He does not slow down. He just keeps going.
That's you see, a G.
As you would. Mm-hmm. If you're an actual rock star, as you would.
Yeah.
And then the guys are coming, they're trying to knock the fire up. He just keeps
going.
He's
like, no, no.
And then after the fact, he got interviewed and he said, look, I knew I was on fire. Yeah. But I live a crazy life and that ain't going to slow me down.
Wow.
You see that, Will?
I can't do that.
Yeah, think about it.
Pretty amazing.
Foldable schmoldable. You got to stop, drop, and roll. It's a sliding phone, so it extends out of an inner chamber, and then pulls a screen with it. Of course, we got the folding stuff, Will. You don't believe me? Got the folding stuff, Will. Don't believe me? But now, everybody, you know, people start talking about creases. They start talking about the other style flip. No one wants to talk about the original Galaxy Fold anymore. Maybe they want to talk about the Escobar Fold. How about that?
That's a hot one.
Hot one. Like the show with the chicken wings.
Yes.
TCL, they're a company, they've shown off some pretty wild concepts in the past, and this is the latest in that realm. The benefit here with the rollout display is you don't have to have a hinge, obviously. There's no hinge involved. And not having a hinge, maybe you can get your screen more taut. You know the word taut? Something is taut. It's tight. Mm-hmm. And maybe you can do that. I mean, obviously, the images they've released, I don't see a crease, but that looks like a render. Or it looks like the image was rendered onto the thing after the fact. You know, you've been in Photoshop before, Will. Mm-hmm. You've been in there. You've been around there. You've been in the nooks and crannies of those types of apps.
Oh, yeah. Right in there.
Yeah, with the masking and the saturation. You've been in there. TCL is creating a phone prototype that has an expandable slide-out display. CNET has learned. There's the exclusive part. CNET learned it. In a new twist on flexible screens. Based on the images that CNET obtained, the concept design looks like a standard phone, but then it turns into a tablet after you've pulled out the screen. It's a novel design that TCL was planning to show off at Mobile World Congress. Mobile World Congress, you tell me what happened, Will, to Mobile World Congress. Of course, on the last episode of this, we were speculating. We said, few dropped out.
Yep.
Corona factor, few dropped out. Then,
official.
Yeah, they shut canceled. It down. Yeah. And we called it. I don't
know. Did we?
No, we didn't call anything. We don't need to call any. I don't care. Call anything. But they did shut it down, and it's probably the right move. Wouldn't you agree? You shut it down.
It's dangerous.
But you have a number of manufacturers that were depending on that conference as a platform to launch a new device. I'll be talking about it with another manufacturer in a couple topics over. And so they've had to adapt, call an audible, you know, do something different. Unplanned, and maybe that's where these images come from. They obviously can't have any big any big keynote type presentation without the event happening. Or maybe they could on their own, like another brand is planning to do. You may recall TCL, they showed off a crazy foldable 5G look in the past. This one, I think, I mean, this one's obviously, as they say, novel because of the fact that it's not a fold at all, but instead a roll. We saw rolling stuff on the patent forms, Let's Go Digital, on previous episodes as well. So they're not the only ones that are thinking about the idea of a rolling display, but they look to be the closest for the time being. And it's not a roll up, for the record. It's not a roll up the rim to win.
You pulling a Tim Hortons?
It's a Tim Hortons commercial, which is crazy because everybody knows who I'm sponsored by.
Yeah.
Tim Hortons, every so often, the little promotion, you roll up the rim, you win a donut or a coffee, but never a car. Although they tell you, you could. It's like one in 20,000 or something. Anyway, you're not rolling up the rim, you're rolling up the phone.
No.
And that's more exciting than a rim, is a phone. Mm-hmm. What do I think? Oh, man, it's wild out here. It's wild out here. What is it? What's the next form factor? I don't know. Creases. The guy, Jerry Rig, he was destroying the flip, the Z flip.
Yep.
Are we really ready as human beings? Are we gentle? Are we careful? Or are we...
savages.
Are we apes with slightly less hair? You know, which one are we, Will?
I would say...
And by the way, the slightly less hair, I'm referring to all of you, not myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if we're talking about body... Remember in the locker room the other day, he was saying... Sean was saying body modifications was how he was referring to the guy that had piercings on the other hockey team. Right. It's a very nice way of saying piercings. Yeah. Apparently the guy had some kind of a...
On the neck?
On the back of the neck. He had something going on. I never noticed it. Oh. Something on the back of the neck, which when you're wearing it on the rink, you got to wonder. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Or maybe it's more robust than anyway, he called it body modification.
I see.
Why does that matter? You tell me, Will.
I think of something else with the body modification. I feel like it's something like way more than a piercing.
Whoa. You're modern. You're really modern.
Yeah.
You're modern. You're modding because you're modern. All right. Well, anyway, that's what he said.
Oh, okay.
That's how he said it. What are we going to do? I don't know. Is it going to roll? Is it going to fold? We got to just fast forward all the way to some kind of projecting holographic, you know, Minority Report type thing. We got to go all the way. Yeah. It's enough already.
Yeah.
Pull a phone out of a cereal box. Why don't you?
It's a slab and then it's holograms, you think?
It's a, yeah, it, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Or something in your eye.
Oh, right. Okay. That's so more realistic. We just go in the eye and it's huge and it's 100 inches and vegetable status 24/7. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But TCL, in the meantime, they're going to roll it up for you. And it's kind of cool. These things are not easy to engineer. And that's kind of where I come from. Mm-hmm. With the appreciation, as much as I see we're reaching, we're grasping at straws to hit that next new thing. Just on the mechanical side of making these things work and work in a durable enough fashion, even the little improvements they did to the fold and V2, it's like you got to appreciate guys going in there and really trying to hammer this thing, hammer it out. Mm-hmm. Obviously not using a hammer.
No.
Little gears and cogs and wheels. It's like the watchmakers of the 20th century.
With the little microscope in their eye, you know.
Oh yeah, the monocle looking type thing.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, it's like a high tech version of that.
Good on them though.
The watchmaker, the timekeeper.
What? It sounds cool.
What about in the Matrix? That guy held all the keys.
Is he the...
Was he the architect? He had so many keys.
No.
Kirk's throwing us off here.
The key maker?
The key maker. No, I don't know if he's a key. He had all the keys.
He makes the keys to open all the doors.
Is a key maker a locksmith? You know what I always liked as a concept? The skeleton key. The key for all the doors. Wasn't that always fun and interesting? The skeleton key. No, you don't care.
Isn't it the town key?
Oh, key to the city is another cool key, but it's useless, that key.
Oh, yeah. It's just like
it just makes you feel special for a minute. I'll give you... I'm sure you get the key to this city if you really wanted it. Ask Jack. He'll send an email. Anyway, Matrix, keys. He got the keys. Keys to the Matrix. Keys to the city. Skeleton key. Resident Evil. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, Resident Evil, I'm looking for keys. I spent a year looking for keys in Resident Evil.
There's like a... Clover key.
I mean, I spent a year looking for keys in Resident Evil. Tell you what, Will.
A lot of keys.
Yeah. Guy like you, you probably found all those keys right away. Probably just went straight to, you probably had the guide. You probably had to.
Yeah.
At the EB Games, you pick up the actual guide. The walkthrough. Pre-YouTube walkthrough, because you had to do 100% completion. And you didn't have time.
And it's like 100 pages.
Yeah, maybe you had to. You had another game to get, you had to get through it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever had 100% completion. Once games started with the side missions and whatnot, holy moly, dude.
It's too much.
It's a level of commitment right there. Ex-Amazon executive admits switching off Alexa before private conversations. Are you nervous about this, Will? Who's listening to you? Do you care? First of all, what type of private conversations are you having?
private. What are you talking about? I don't. The more like I use my devices,
listening to you, and you're just fine.
The less I really care about it. I feel like everything's listening.
It's all listening. Isn't that weird? It's a really bipolar approach. You get to this point, and I could see the argument that that's a dangerous point to be at. The point at which you just, have it all. Mm-hmm. What can I do? Mm-hmm. It's the way that it is. It's the way that it must be. That seems, I'm with you, by the way.
No, there is awareness.
I know. What I'm saying is, it's so much to overcome at this point. These technologies are so embedded in our lives. And deliver value to us and all the rest of it. It's very hard to untangle it. And it feels overwhelming, the idea. Even this guy, when he says, look, I unplug my Alexa when I'm about to have a private conversation. Mm-hmm. The bandwidth necessary to say, oh, wait, I'm about to step on these words right now. Let me go unplug the Alexa. And what does that even do to the moment? Mm-hmm. You're having this deep conversation. You're about to hit this deep path. You're about to surf this wave within this conversation.
It's like, hold on 1 second. I just got in.
I'm going to just unplug all my... I'll be back in a minute.
Yeah, I got five of them.
I'm just...
Around the house. Just give me a
second. No, a guy like this probably has a kill switch. Mm. Probably has a kill switch. Like a physical kill switch.
Yeah.
On a table next to the couch. Bam! Conversation time.
Meanwhile, his phone is just right beside him.
Yeah. You got to turn off the phone, too. You got to turn it all off. Former Amazon executive has admitted to switching off Alexa whenever he wants to have a private conversation. Robert Frederick, formerly a manager at Amazon Web Services, told the BBC's Panorama program that he does not want staff at his previous employer listening to his private moments via their ubiquitous Echo smart speaker. So here's a guy with inside knowledge and information who should know exactly what's going on. Now, he says, they say, Amazon says, that the reason that they listen to these private conversations is to improve Alexa's performance. In other words, the way in which Alexa gets trained better, I'm sure some of it happens through machine learning and things, but some of it is an actual human input. There's humans on the other end that are transcribing the commands and words that are coming in so that Alexa knows what to listen for or how to respond more accurately more often. So there are actual people there, thousands of people employed by Amazon, listening and improving the speech recognition. Well, of course, you can immediately understand what the problem is there. Mm-hmm. These are just human beings, and human beings are entertained by
any type of conversation.
Well, human beings are entertained by the drama of others.
Yeah.
Hence your typical, I mean, I'm reading this particular story off of a website called twofab.com. So let's get that out of the way. Human beings are entertained by the drama of others. Well, what do you do when you're a microphone inside of a person's house? Well, you got the real trauma, man. You know, people into reality this, YouTube that. Mm-hmm. You want to see what people are up to. Mm-hmm. Entertainment. These people, they entered into something possibly even more engaging. You're inside this person's life now. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, I'm sure amongst those thousands of people, there's plenty that are hands-off approach. It's like, no, this work status. I'm not trying to be in here and just strictly be entertained. Oh, it's tough, though.
Yeah. That would be really hard.
Guy like you start hearing a spicy convo.
Oh, yeah.
You're transcoding. All of a sudden, you're just clicking away. Spicy convo?
Just rubbing my hands.
Spicy convo?
Like, wait a minute. Get the popcorn.
So you scroll down a little bit. According to the article, the team occasionally overhear and discuss on internal chat rooms private, upsetting, and even criminal things, such as a woman singing badly in the shower, a child screaming for help, or a sexual assault. Mm. So, look, we obviously understand the potential sensitivity and the fact that regular people are going to forget that there's a microphone sitting there. Amazon would want you to believe that there's no human beings monitoring this, or that there was some perfect solution, some perfect way of only engaging with your microphone when you want to. But if we've ever been around these devices, you know, often they'll be triggered inadvertently. Happens all the time. So I guess the question is, where are we at? How much do you care? Is it too far gone? Or are you like this guy where you actually attempt to turn things off before you had that real convo, or before you have that intimate moment, as you would in 2020 and any other year for that matter? I don't know. You guys tell me in the comments. I don't know where I'm at. I don't think I'd be able to slow down enough. You know, I'm flying off. I'm on the edge.
Yeah, you're always in the heat of the moment.
I'm off constantly. The deep end. I can't be untangling, unplugging in that moment. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna let the thoughts flow, so I can't be worried about that. But I will say, I don't have a smart speaker hooked up in my house permanently. Like, I don't have one. So if that means anything to anyone, I just don't. But yeah, the phones are everywhere with the microphones.
Yeah.
Getting back to the idea, to the story, MWC being canceled, might be canceled, is canceled. Huawei and Honor, they're not ready to let it go. You upset about this, Will?
Yeah, I'm just reading it. It's like, yeah, I'm just going to go anyways.
Yeah, they're going anyway. Like, you know, Huawei and Honor are going anyways, and they're going to host their very own event, as well as a virtual event. And I guess this is kind of a way, possibly, of capitalizing on the fact that some people are still going to be taking the trip. I don't know who.
But,
or maybe to encourage people to still make the trip that we're planning on being there. I'm talking about press.
Yeah, but the whole organizer kind of just shut it down, right?
It's officially canceled.
So is the venue still open?
No, it's canceled.
So what are they doing in Barcelona then?
So when you're Huawei or Honor, you just march into, you just hop on a phone or on an email, and you call up the Italian pavilion in Barcelona. Sounds, and you say, right, we would like to have a virtual press conference, and we will pay you X number of dollars in order to do that. To which the Italian pavilion responds, we will happily accept those funds, and the pavilion is yours.
Mm. Perfect.
You see how that works, Will?
Yeah.
Honor sent out press invites to a Barcelona press conference earlier today, including Android Authority, where this story originates, confirming a live stream on February 24th at 6:30 p.m. The invite confirms the venue, Hotel W Barcelona, and the presence of a demo area to experience the new products. It's probably going to be a scaled back version. And it looks like they're talking about two separate events at the Italian Pavilion and one at Hotel W Barcelona. But I'm guessing that Honor, Huawei, both presume that there's still some degree of opportunity to be there, to show strength amidst the chaos of this outbreak. I don't know, man, what the signaling is here. But much like the original story we covered with TCL, they may have had very strong plans. They did have strong plans. Mm-hmm. And they might not just want to let those plans go. They're widely expected to launch the Mate 10S. Mate X, is it X or 10 in their case? With Apple.
Probably X, right?
With Apple, you remember when the iPhone 10 came out? The public called it iPhone X.
Yes.
Mate XS, 10S, whatever they're referring to it as. They were expected to launch that device in Barcelona, offering the... No, it's X. It was always Mate X. Mm-hmm. It was never 10 for them. Mate XS in Barcelona, offering the new Kirin 990 chipset. And apparently they were going to bring with them some new tablets and laptops as well. So maybe they're just saying, look, we got to get this news out there anyways. We need some sort of an event in the West somewhere. This was going to happen in Barcelona. Maybe some people are kicking around already, press types. Mm-hmm. We still want to do it. So we're going to go completely independent of the thing. Now, is it a bit, could you perceive it as insensitive? People are obviously concerned. The organization running MWC was concerned. Companies such as Sony, LG, Vivo, concerned enough to pull out. I don't know how people will perceive this. If they think it's acceptable, if they think it's good, maybe they say, you know what? If I want to be there, I want to be there. If I want to take that risk, I want the option to go show up at the event. But no doubt it's a sensitive time in the space, just considering the situation in China as it stands right now. Mm-hmm. And the fact that there's this real life thing happening, this human health thing happening, and trying to figure out the correct balance within the smartphone sphere, which circles so closely, orbits that section of the world so closely. And events like MWC, they obviously realized, hey, we're going to look at the bigger picture here. There's going to be another year. We're going to have another option. Maybe we just shut it down. Maybe we cool off. Same with all the brands that just made the statement early and said, look, we're not going to do it this year. Because the idea of bringing whatever it is, 50,000 people from all over the world, all those parts, to one hub. I've been to CES so many times. Everybody gets sick. Everybody, it's that airflow. You're in a convention center, close proximity. You're exhausted. It's the handshakes. It's all this stuff that comes with the event. So probably my angle is shut it down, do it again next year. Plenty of time, plenty of MWCs, but it's hard to say because companies have already spent money. Try to recuperate. They've got products and all the rest of it. It's a tough situation. We have a gorgeous new Apple iMac, which is the stuff of dreams, according to Richard Priday on Tom's Guide. He says this is the stuff of his dreams. What he dreams about. Well, I don't know about your dreams, but it looks a lot like mine as well. Yeah. I wake up in a cold sweat many nights thinking of what is Apple going to do with the iMac? An Apple desktop with Face ID and dual trackpads. Now, we've seen the patent applications come through. Same thing. Let's go digital, all up in the scene as they would be and as they have been. And many have attempted to imagine this next generation iMac. And there seems to be some sort of agreement around this particular concept that sort of looks like an unfolded laptop that will never fold and also happens to be giant and has an embedded keyboard trackpad setup. Now, this is by no means official. This one is made by Yanko Design. And as you scroll down a little bit, you'll see how they've integrated the stand. The whole thing has some curvature to it, which curves are in as far as tech is concerned right now. Mm-hmm. Anything that folds and curves and but gotta be high tech. Mm-hmm. Hey, is that curving over there? You must have paid a lot of money for that. The screen, a 24-inch Retina display, also containing Face ID for secure login. And the back portion, if you scroll down a little bit more, is going to carry through the cheese grater effect of the latest Mac Pro. Maybe they'll put the Pro designation on that. Maybe they've got an iMac Pro, which they have had in the past, and maybe the next version makes you feel even more pro by giving you a little cheese grater on the back. A cheese grater effect, which, as we all know, associated with big dollars that you'd have to spend on the real Pro computer from Apple, the Mac Pro, the new Mac Pro. We don't have one of those yet. Maybe we should unbox one of those. They're kind of cool looking.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, this is not the only guy that's put an attempt out there. Concept Creator also put an attempt out there to figure out the new iMac shape. And of course, Let's Go Digital did the same after they saw the patent application. But there's no doubt that the current iMac design has been around for a while. It really hasn't changed that much. I've said that to you in the past, Will. All the way back to the iMac G5 that I remember. A stick, a popsicle, you know? A stick with a screen plunked right on top of it. Mm-hmm. It's been a popsicle for a while. What's the next form factor? A sandwich? A ramp? That one looks sort of like a skateboard ramp. A half pipe. You ever play Tony Hawk?
Yeah.
Did you actually play Tony Hawk?
Pro Skater 2, right?
Yeah, on PlayStation 2 or 1?
1.
PlayStation 1.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're in the skate. You're skating around.
You're Tony Hawk.
720? You could do a 1080.
Yeah.
You could actually do a 1080.
Do the rails.
You're skateboarding. You got the soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
You could play for hours on end. Hours and hours on end. You're just spinning and flipping, and you go to the different skate parks.
Combos,
and you got to spell the thing out. You got to spell skate.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying, man? Tony Hawk. Throwback. Throwback. I don't know. Who is sitting there saying, I need this next iMac? I don't know who that customer is. They're obviously out there, but it's just a lot of laptops that I see in the world. I go around the world. I travel the world looking at humans, mm-hmm. their behaviors. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like David Attenborough.
You're narrating?
I narrate. I walk right over to them, and I begin to narrate their activities.
Yeah. Staring intently. Yeah.
Yes.
While they're shopping for
groceries. They don't even notice me. The voice is so, it's just in the background. They think it's their own. Is that my narration? Where'd that come from? Then I'm gone.
Yeah.
That doesn't actually happen. But I'm just saying, particularly with tech in the real world, I like to see what people are using and how they're using it. Mm. For example, the other day, I saw a person dictate a text to Siri while walking into a premises. They're opening the door and they quickly dictate a Siri text like they're late. And they quickly dictate text, blah, 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 da, 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 da. Hey Siri, text, blah, blah, da, 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 da. And I was like, okay, we're doing that. A regular citizen, you understand? No tech savvy, fancy business, citizen of the world. Talking to Siri, very casual, very comfy. Younger person.
So what did you think?
I just thought in that moment, I thought voice could be the thing. Hmm. Voice in the headset. What is that? Her, your favorite movie ever that I refuse to watch? Yeah. I mean, I don't refuse for any reason other than the fact that God knows what I'm doing. I'm over here. I'm over there. I'm all over the place.
Well, just play it in the background.
I'm all over the place.
Yeah.
I'm never in one place.
Yeah.
Only time I'm in one place, I'm sleeping. Oh, I'm in one place now. God, I better sleep. I better sleep because I know I'm not going to be in one place after that.
Well, watch it in the shower.
I'm from place to place, man. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Anybody who knows me in real life, I'm there.
Just bouncing around.
Sometimes I sit down and I'm like, whoa, man, I'm sitting down. That's the level it is. I'm telling you. Netflix, all the rest of it. I can't. I'm telling you, man.
Okay, I hear you. I see it.
I'm lucky to catch a sporting event. Lucky. If it's going to happen.
Did you catch the All-Star game?
Nope. See? Place to place, man. They marched me right around town. They're there.
Narrating?
So I'm narrating. I mean, if I got to march around anyways, I might as well narrate something. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, there's a new iMac. I don't know. It's not going to be that. There's no way it's going to be that thing. That thing is scary and
it
strange.
Looks a bit low.
There's something off about it. Yeah, the ergonomics. There's something strange about it. If you're going to get that, why not just get a laptop? Then you can actually fold it up. I get it. It's 24 inches, but geez, Louise. The flexibility of the laptop. Other day, Jack's like, my laptop, it's dead. What am I doing? Remember that?
Yeah.
My Final Cut. I'm editing. It's crashing. Mm. What's going on here? Mm-hmm. I said, well, first of all, you've been running rampant on the internet with that thing.
Yeah.
All corners of the internet on that thing. Uh-huh. Download. It's like terrible worst thing ever .dmg. download. Install. The little lock comes up. Are you sure you want to install? So I wasn't that surprised. There's some sort of issue going on there. But I said to him, hey, man, you're exporting these files, you're crunching these complex timelines into these MP4s. It's taxing. You want a different setup or something? But the laptop is so, he doesn't want to let it go. I couldn't even wrestle it away from him.
Yeah, he's comfy with it.
It was tight under his arm. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, you could have a big display and.
It's like, no.
No.
Download.
Yes, because he's just comfy with the idea of picking the thing up and moving it around.
Yeah.
And I just feel like most people are in that camp. I understand if you want to go to gaming, PC build and all the rest of it, there's a huge benefit there. But when it comes to the type of work that we do or that a lot of people do, the laptop is sufficient and the flexibility of being able to move it overwhelms the potential improvements that you could get from a dedicated desktop setup. But still, if you walk into some kind of a high-class office space, what you want to see at the front is the desk, the modern desk with the iMac on it.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's what all iMacs do that are sold in the last 5 years.
In the lobby?
Yep, they're all sitting right there. Yeah. The actual person working the front desk has their own personal laptop in front of the iMac. Yeah. Anyway, somebody's using them. Somebody's loving them. They're going to tell us in the comments. They're going to be shouting, be saying, you idiot. You got to have the iMac to do all the things I'm doing. Hate laptops. I'm crunching. I'm crouching. Yeah. That guy's there. He's there right now.
Yeah.
He's watching this right now. So shout out to that guy.
On the iMac.
This was interesting to me. You know, I told you I'm going A to B and C to Z. So I'm not playing the games as much. Though I did sit down for a minute and play some of the Star Wars I told you. So I have the lightsaber and...
The Jedi.
Yeah, I did that. I did that for maybe half an hour. I don't know.
Okay.
I was doing that. Going to the planets, you pick the planet in the spaceship. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go to Zephyr, or
Yeah.
They need my help over. We should travel there. We gotta uncover the thing and.
Gotta help save those guys.
I like how the little robot is on the shoulder though. Mm-hmm. That's kind of fun. It makes you feel comfortable, even when you're in a trying situation. You got you got a little sidekick. He's motivation. Like Otis. It's like the robot version of Otis. Yeah.
Sidekick.
So. maybe not keys, but clues. What is this? What's going on here?
Autoplay.
How did that get triggered at that moment? What exactly could have triggered that at that moment? I'd like to know. See, they're listening over here.
Yeah.
I hit the keyword, the trigger word. Play it now. Go. I'm playing the Star Wars game. And they try to put the mechanics in there to get you hooked. Everyone's trying to do it. Everybody wants the hook mechanics. And so it's not enough to just beat a mission or a boss type character. Now you got to be upgrading and changing your lightsaber and your cloaks and your undergarments.
Yeah.
They want to get into your undergarments in the modern games. It's what their real target name is.
Not my undergarments.
And that brings me to this topic here. Call of Duty, they're set to release their Battle Royale game type in early March. Now, they've been talking about it for a really long time. Fortnite came and it hit hard. It was a heavy hitter, as you're aware. Maybe you didn't hear about it. I don't know. Mm. Fortnite got a couple players, dozen players. And they stole those dozen players from Call of Duty, and Call of Duty's here to come get them back. Uh-huh. And by dozen, I mean dozen million, dozen billion, sir.
Yeah.
And the diehard Call of Duty types are saying, this is it. This is what it's about. Game on. Game on, Fortnite. I don't know if you remember, man. Call of Duty was a whole thing on YouTube.
Yeah.
I mean, it still is a whole thing, but it was a whole thing.
Tournaments and everything.
It was just a really hot content type. And then all of a sudden, a lot of Call of Duty people who were publishing Call of Duty videos, at least on YouTube, they just flipped to Fortnite because it was the hot title and it was catching views. As you would. And I mean, no, who wouldn't? That's what it is. If people are playing that, they want to see that and so forth. And a lot of it, when you look at Fortnite, you try to figure out the success. A lot of it has to do, yes, it's very colorful and engaging, but it's also some of the mechanical pieces around the entire ecosystem with the V-Bucks and the free-to-play. You get the game for free. Yeah,
cross-platform.
Yeah, it's just it's a
seasons.
Weird. Yeah, it's a battle pass. And yeah. So Call of Duty was obviously, we got to go do some version of it. We got to do this type of thing. They're going to call it Warzone. And they have some really unique, some of those mechanical pieces I'm talking about, some really unique ones in there that sound, they might hook some people even harder, which is hard to believe. Hmm. But they might hook some people even harder. So obviously, this game mode is going to be offered right within the pre-existing game. But it's also going to be, you can download it independently and for free. So, of course, you have to have the free aspect to get the people involved. Mm. So that's going to be pretty interesting for a Call of Duty title to have a free download. Because typically, obviously, these games, what are they, $60? Mm-hmm. Something like this. And right now, the speculation is that March 10th is the most likely candidate for Warzone's release date. It's already a grayed out menu item inside of the game. But here's where things get interesting to me, is the special aspects that are going to exist. Yes, you're going to drop out of an airplane with a parachute because you got to do that. Battle Royale, PUBG, Fortnite. But they go a step further. All right, Fortnite's got the V-Bucks and so forth. And you get a skin. That never really worked that much on me because they don't really change the gameplay. No. Right? There's always this thing about should skins or those gamification aspects, could they impact the actual game? If they did, now things start to get interesting. And I'm not saying that you pay. I'm not saying
pay to win.
The paid aspect. I'm saying the earnings. If you are loyal, you play the most, you play the best, should you have opportunities within the game that the other people who don't shouldn't? From now, you can imagine if you're a game developer from an addiction standpoint, ooh, how are you going to check out? Well, that didn't World of Warcraft have that stuff going on?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, there's like raids where you like go with a group and then you, you know, kill bosses and then you get better items.
But your items are not just visual.
You're
getting
your
better
character.
In the thing, and then you say, I can't leave. I can't put this guy down. This dude is level 2,000 with the hot outfit and the heavy sledgehammer.
Yeah.
I'm just guessing right now. I'm just guessing right now. I never played the game. I can't lay that dude down right now. I'm too invested. And that's where things... Okay, let me just... I'm going to just read to you for a quick second here. Just like other Battle Royale games, Warzone will have players parachuting onto a large map and looting buildings for gear. As is typical for the genre... By the way, this is videogameschronicle.com. Just like... As is typical for the genre, it will also feature an ever-decreasing play area. So you get the shrinking play area. In this case, it'll be surrounded by chemical gas, forcing combatants to battle it out until a single player or team remains. Okay, that's standard stuff. Support for up to 200 players in a single match. Cool. Squad-based player system. Now, this is what I like over here. Perhaps the feature that differentiates Warzone the most from the other Battle Royale games is something called Plunder. And it's an in-game currency earned during matches by defeating enemies or completing missions. Plunder is a valuable resource which can be used to purchase gear from various locations in the middle of a match. A currency available to you in the middle of a match. Hmm. What does that mean? Can you go pick up some armor, some more weapons?
Yeah, and it'll only affect that game.
Within that game.
Okay.
However, Plunder is a valuable resource which can be used to purchase gear from various locations in the match. However, players defeated while holding Plunder will drop the resource for enemy players to loot. So you drop your cash if you die. The risk-reward dynamic is further strengthened by the introduction of banks, which can be used to store your collected plunder for future matches. Mm. You can use it right away when you collect it, or you can decide, hey man, I'm gonna die. I need to get to a bank so I can keep this for future important matches. But if you go to a bank to deposit your plunder, that will alert every nearby player to your presence inside the bank along with your loot. So there's a downside to using the bank. That you're probably more likely to die after depositing your plunder. Mm. In another interesting genre twist, death isn't necessarily the end in Warzone. Instead, defeated players can be sent to the Gulag, a prison where they'll compete for a chance to respawn onto the battlefield. Once you're inside the Gulag, you will wait your turn for a 1v1 battle against another player, with the winner returning to Battle Royale. Whoa! Good Lord, man. There's so many mechanics.
It's a mission.
I get all juiced up on the mechanics. I'm picturing these programmers thinking, yeah. Imagine they have the boardroom meeting. They're like, Gulag!
1v1.
It's like you're in prison, Will. And you know what happens to a guy like you in prison, first of all? It's not good. It's not good, Will.
Yeah.
But you might get a shot 1v1 to make a name for yourself. Mm. The tough guy standing right over there. You say, you know what? Mm. Don't underestimate me. I got something here for you. The other dynamic with the cash thing, with the do you determine? Okay, so if you can store your plunder for a next match, how much are you carrying on you at any given time? That risk-reward scenario is so interesting. Because if I really want to win a match, I'm going to carry a lot of plunder because I'm going to need to re-up on the resources from time to time if I want to be heavy in that match. But you die right away coming into the match loaded with the plunder from the previous that you saved in the bank? Mm-hmm. That could be a big economic swing. That's like robbing somebody. Mm-hmm. Imagine the word gets out that you like to travel with some hot plunder.
Ugh.
Like I'm saying, for players that have a name for themselves,
yeah.
It's so interesting. The dynamics of it are bananas. Mm-hmm. The
win the 1v1, respawn, hit the bank, hit the rocket launcher, you win.
There you go. Yeah, maybe you sit in the Gulag. Maybe you want to get popped early so you're safe in the
and
Gulag.
And then I'm facing a guy with a rocket launcher? Oh, okay.
No, no, because in the 1v1, I'm assuming you don't bring anything into the jail.
So what do you get then?
You probably just
fist?
I don't know if it's fist. Maybe you got, but you might have the same weapon. I don't know. Maybe there's a weapon sitting in the middle. You got to race for it. I don't know. But it's just interesting to me, outside the realm of the game itself, we understand the shooting mechanics. You understand a first-person view and an enemy. Mm-hmm. Now, the dynamic or modern, the innovation is happening around it.
Yeah, it's more refined.
It within these mechanical components that aren't necessarily part of the core game, but instead enhance your interactivity with the core game. Mm-hmm. Change the way you perceive the core game. And Fortnite with V-Bucks, there's this progression aspect that goes along with it. But you could never use that money, the V-Bucks, in-game. Mm-hmm. It's just wearing a flashy outfit. I never cared that. I get it. You're proud. You got the hot outfit. But it didn't really do much for you in the game. The idea of progressing towards something that will definitely change outcomes inside the game, the dudes that play more are going to have some incredible advantages. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, how are they going to put it down? When they know if they put the game down, the next dude is going to be coming with double the plunder that they do because they just didn't commit themselves enough. It's just really interesting. It's going to wreak havoc on the psyche of players around the world. But I something tells me that's what players like and love. Now, obviously, it's a different game than Fortnite. I'm not saying it's going to completely displace Fortnite. I'm just saying it's interesting to me. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll give it a half hour. Maybe I'll give it a half hour.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get in that gulag. Little 1v1. Give it a half hour here or there. Anyway, there you have it, Will. That's foldable schmoldable, as they like to say, as a professional would say. Foldable schmoldable, no more MWC. Turn off your smart speakers if you want to live to see 2021.